Blog Talk Radio.
This is Scout Smith of Down South and Dirty with Scout Smith and Stacey Hopkins. This is a special report. Stacey's out doing brand new Congress stuff. Anora's doing her day job. But we were supposed to come back on last Sunday, and you know how it is when y'all who've listened to us know sometimes we have technical difficulties. But we'll be returning on this upcoming Sunday. So be prepared for that show. And a lot of the things that I'm going to talk about in the next couple of minutes probably will be covered in that show. But I felt a need for us to come on air, for Down South and Dirty to come on air this morning and do a special report. Most of you probably hear this as a download later. If you want to call in, you can call in. But we have a sad state of affairs in America. And it's been building up for a while. It just wasn't this week. It's been building up for quite a while. And yesterday, those of you who follow me on social media, particularly on Facebook and Scout Smith, seen the videos that I posted from the march yesterday from Five Points in Atlanta, Georgia, to Piedmont Park. And I did not realize as I was marching yesterday that there was a significance to us going to Piedmont Park until I got there. And that a young black man had been found hung in a tree. And it's being dismissed as a suicide. But you hear a lot of people around the city talking about the fact that it's just kind of a coincidental thing that the Klan was in the park just that day or the day before passing out flyers, and then a young black man happens to be hanging from a tree. That's not usually how we do that. No, the rope thing don't usually end how we do that. But so that was concerning. We had multiple situations going on that were interesting at best, because we had the Alan Sterling thing going on. We had multiple situations going on that kind of made that even worse as we dealt with it. I got a caller here. I'm going to take this caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, how you doing, brother? Calling from New Orleans. I was just tuning in and caught. I actually just tuned in. I saw the topic of your program there.
Yeah, I'm doing this special report today because I'm kind of concerned about what's going on in our country today. And I was just giving us, you know, Alan Sterling, Philando Castile. Then, like I was just saying, we had a young man, and I'm just now trying to get all the information behind it, that we had a young man that was found in a tree hanging here in Atlanta. Just happens to be not too long after the Klan had went through Piedmont Park passing out flyers, but the city saying it's a suicide. And a lot of folks are not buying that. Then we also, as we finished our peaceful protest in Atlanta, and we find out that the protest in Dallas turned into a shooting of cops, and it's concerning. So my question, since you're listening in and you probably have been listening to the news, what do you think about what's going on? Is it just not crazy?
Right. Let me respond to that. First, let me ask you one question. When did they find the brother hanging from the tree in Atlanta area?
Yesterday. It was yesterday morning, from what I'm understanding.
Oh,
we
wow.
Okay. We were marching, and I was wondering, because normally when we march in Atlanta, we usually go from one spot. We have certain spots that we normally take, you know. Like we'll go to Woodruff Park, which is like dead in the center of downtown, to do our rallies. But we marched 3 miles from the central train station, which is Five Points, all the way to Piedmont Park. And Piedmont Park is kind of like our central park for Atlanta, because it's a really big open green space.
Right.
And I got there, and we got listening to what the organizer was talking about. And then they said, you know, we had a brother not too far from here, and everybody kind of looked in the direction. So I'm gathering that it wasn't that far from where we were standing, where this young man was found hung in a tree. And the city is saying that it's a suicide. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with the Kendrick Johnson case here in Georgia, but there was a young man down in Valdosta who was found dead, wrapped up in a wrestling mat almost 2 years ago, and they claimed it to be a suicide. But
I'm familiar with that, brother.
Okay.
I had a cousin back in 2002 in Mississippi. 2 hours from New Orleans, he was found hanging. You can Google that. His last name was Veal. And he was found hanging, and they claimed. But what I want to comment as relates, and we're familiar with everything is a quote-unquote suicide, you know. But I want to look at this from I usually don't get into this kind of thinking, a karmic concept. I was one of the very few blacks, if any, that warned black people about this desire to have a black president, that it was a forbidden fruit, and that we chose symbolism over substance, over an agenda. And we never, because we got generations born, about 3 or 4 generations born after those who lived through the truly open hostility of white people, we don't understand the nature of white rage and hate. And if you'd have told people 8 years ago, when the Obama fervor was going on, that all of this stuff we saw happening the past 8 years, if you had told them this would happen, you'd have been told to shut up, this is a new America, et cetera. But now
let me make sure that I'm on the same page with you, because I kind of feel what you're saying. You're saying that, you know, that a lot of what we're going through right now over the last 8 years, all of these this just a resurgence of hate, is because we took the forbidden fruit from the tree and elected a black president.
Somebody who has always abused us gave us some candy. And as a result of taking that candy, we are being molested, to put it in blunter terms. That we have to forgo this emotionalism and this symbolism. Now, you know what this shows right now, all that's been going on? That all the first black mayors, all the first black anything, all those black congresspersons, including the president, the attorney general, black woman, they are incapable of protecting and eliminating the threat or neutralizing the threat against black people, that they are as impotent as an old white man who couldn't get it up before he got prostate cancer. That all of this symbolic stuff that we thought was so great, so much of an advancement, has proven that it is not an advancement. Let me say something about Elton Sterling, because Baton Rouge is an hour from New Orleans.
Right.
And the situation Elton Sterling was in as a individual, you see it all in our communities. Let's ask this question. We're not condemning Elton Sterling. Why is it that we are still at the level where we're scrambling around bootleg DVDs in front of a store owned by an Arab? This is the situation we're in all over this country. We're at the bottom scrambling, picking up scraps to survive, and the industries, people that are running businesses where they have to engage with wholesale and they have to have employees are immigrants, Vietnamese, East Indians, Arabs from different countries, and we are sitting out in front of their stores peddling. Why? We got to ask ourselves, where is the advancement in all of this? Where is the advancement? When black people had farms, 500, 600, 1,000 acres, producing okra, corn, and all the stuff. And what I'm saying is, what we have thought has meant good for us has turned out to be of nothing. We must reassess what is substance to get a people up so they don't be in a begging position.
Right.
So I feel part of this is the curse of the politics of symbolism, where all we want to do is just see a black state. It's not a little game white folks play on this, too, when these police shooting happens. Oh, they need to hire some more black police. They need to do this. And see, we get back into the symbolism of black faces. But those
thinking that we have our people represented is going to make our life better. But the question that I ask a lot of the time is that, you know, it's okay to have black folks in elected position, but are they the right black folks? Are they the folks who have a vision to actually get something done? I work in politics. And if you've ever listened to our show, all of us that normally are on the air together, all of us are political operatives or activists, and we're out there doing the work. And the question that we ask ourselves a lot, do we have the right people in position? Do we have the right people with the right vision? Because we talk about this symbolism stuff a lot. Because I was just having a conversation on the train yesterday with a gentleman about the whole sit-in situation when it was after the shooting down in Orlando, how the congressman went into the House of Representatives and they were there for 24 hours. And we talked about back in the day when John Lewis was the serious truth, he was the beginning of a part of the movement, they would have still been sitting there because they still hadn't voted on a bill to deal with the problem they were sitting in. But I got a fundraising letter just that night afterwards about let's raise some money because we need to put gun control in check. It was pure symbolism. It was political theater. And when you out there, people want real change. That's why we had, if you looked at the presidential race, and we talked about that a lot here on this show, that's why we got a damn Donald Trump possibly as the Republican nominee. That's why we have Donald Trump, because white folks are sick of whatever the hell they're seeing. Then on the Democratic side, that's why we've seen Bernie Sanders doing such a tremendous, becoming such a tremendous threat to the Democratic establishment, because you have folks on the left that was pissed off. Now you got folks pissed off all over the place. You got people talking about not even damn voting because they believe that the system is rigged. But it goes back again what you're talking about. Everybody's tired of symbols. We don't want to see no symbols. Give me something I can hold in my hand and I can do something with, particularly if it's green and it got the word United States Treasury Reserve note on it.
Well,
you know,
right. What I'm suggesting in all of the stuff that's been going on. Now, of course, we have to be fair. Police killings it never did stop. It's just that people are capturing things more on cell phones. So
right.
Imagine all the killings that have occurred where there were no cell phones, number one. So by us being in this phase of the 21st century, a social media-oriented global society where people have the ability to capture events right there on the spot and then post them for the world to see. That's virtually what that's basically what we're reacting to
right
at this point. You see?
Right.
But
I had a video yesterday that was done when I was out marching, and there was a candidate who's running for office here in Atlanta, and he comes from the activist community. You know, he was a member of Occupy, this, that, and the other. And he talked about this while I was talking to him as we go, where we were having a conversation while we was marching. And he said, that show you that the thing is tipped. He said, you used to be seeing that the police got cameras. You used to seeing that the news people got cameras. But now you got regular cameras. And the fact that this young lady, as her soulmate, was sitting there dying next to her, instead of her trying to fix, she felt that it was more important that this get documented, and it was live, because guess what? By her live streaming it, they can't steal the video. Everybody didn't see. Couldn't see it. We you know, fact of the matter is that the police were sitting up there attempting to lie live. And if that man, this officer does not get prosecuted, if he does not get convicted, particularly in the Philando Castile case, because you know they've already attempted to shame the hell out of Alton Sterling, just like they do every time one of us dies in the street. Recent thing, they go want to pull out your record, and you done served the time for the stuff that's already been done there. And you know, we always hear about America being a Christian nation. We always hear about these things, but if you're a true Christian nation, then you understand the redemption is always there. But we don't get no redemption. Every time something happens to us, they automatically pull up our past and say, hey, look what this Negro done did. Look what he done did. He a thug, this done it, but Philando Castile. They can't find, they've been attempting. The only thing they can find is that the brother got traffic tickets. And so if you're a black man in America and you don't have a whole bunch, if you've never had an interaction with a traffic stop, then you are extremely lucky. Extremely.
Yeah. Well,
but Fernando Castillo was a legal gun owner, had his permit, told the officer, I have a weapon, I have a legal permit, and still damn died. Somebody got there, there ain't no excuse. That dude,
he keeps on blinding. Well, let's forecast what we could anticipate. I do anticipate a greater white backlash. I do see more white police officers killing black people. I see that coming. I see that the death of these five officers will overshadow the death of these two black men in the last couple of days.
It already has. And it's some big bold letters.
And I do see that there will be, and this is what we need to ask ourselves too. I saw some of the press conference with the mayor and the Dallas police chief just a while ago. Now, the person, they have three persons in custody, but the one that they killed, he admitted that he was killed. He didn't commit suicide. They had a chance to speak with him in a lengthy exchange of gunfire and trying to convince him to turn himself in. And he allegedly said that he had problems with the black guy. Well, I'm sorry, I don't know how the person looked who did the killing. But he said, the police chief said this guy said he had problems with Black Lives Matter, which is interesting. He hated white people. He was out to kill white police officers. And he was angry about the police killings. Now, how do we know that is not an intelligence operation?
Exactly. My question is that if we as citizens have the presence of mind to live stream the conversation that was going on, it would take to me, and I understand that I'm going to hear from folks who say, okay, the police could very well be, you know, it's an ongoing investigation, so we don't want to taint the thing. But this is very important for transparency purposes to let us actually hear what this guy had to say. But you're absolutely right. How do we not know that this is not a what they call a red flag situation? where they have taken somebody in place to do this, to cause any, to shift the focus.
It's not like it's not happened before.
If you tell people, they say it's conspiracy theory. But I will point out to a historical situation in which a war was started off of this. August 31st, 1939. Okay? German troops instigated and shot upon each other to make it look like Polish border guards shot upon German troops. And we all now know that it was German troops who shot upon German troops, and they were dressed in Polish uniform to get Adolf Hitler the reason to invade Poland. September 1st, 1939, Nazi troops entered Poland, and World War II started. So we can't, people do not use these situations, because the greatest loss of human life that has ever taken place on this planet was instigated by one of these events. And you can't sit there and say, and people will sit there and tell you, well, what's the color of the shooters? It doesn't matter what color the shooters were.
Because
the Dr. Dollar talks. If you sit there and told, if a man was in a situation and you told him, look, your family's going to be well taken care of, or this is going to happen, and it ain't even got to be about money. It's just the radicalization that you get somebody to understand that guess what, you get to strike back at the people you hate. And they don't even know why they're doing what they're doing.
Now, I'm going to ask you to write these two names down. I'm going to continue to listen. I want you to write these names down. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. I want you to put the year 1900, and I want you to write the Robert Charles incident. Robert Charles, 1900. And then the next name, this happened in,
You said Robert Charles.
Robert Charles, 1900, New Orleans. Okay, I want you to look that up. And the next one was the 1970s. I want to say it was 1974, Mark Essex. And let me explain the two events, and then I'll continue to listen. In 1900, Robert Charles was a black man who was minding his own business in New Orleans. He was a Back to Africa advocate. He was selling newspapers for the Bishop Henry McNeil Turner of the AME Church. And he and a friend one night were waiting on two sisters. Police walked by him and grabbed him, and Mark Essex shot him. And then Mark Essex fled to a building, and it was this big hysteria looking for this black guy. And thousands of white folks. And then when the police, they found out Robert Charles was in a building, Robert Charles was so great of a shooter, he may have taken off seven police officers. Well, ultimately somebody set fire to the building, and they shot Robert Charles. And when he ran out of the building, they riddled his body with bullets. But there was this massive race riot in New Orleans, where whites were going around and just killing blacks, beating blacks up. And I know about that very well because my great-grandmother was a little baby, and my great-great-grandparents, the next day, no blacks in New Orleans went to work at all. And New Orleans is a port city. And so that was the rich white folk was losing business and had to get involved. So that was one incident, Robert Charles. And then Mark Essex stood on the building. I don't know if it was a house. It was some tall building in downtown New Orleans, and he sniped white police. He was a Vietnam vet, and he sniped and killed some white police officers, and he expressed his anger with the racist system. Okay, so these are examples of how this environment produced these things, you see. Yeah. So Robert Charles and Mark Essex in New Orleans. I encourage you to read on those, assuming that what took place in Dallas is truly in retaliation to what occurred to police killing blacks.
Well, I appreciate you for calling in, and I just pulled it up, and there's a lot of information on the Robert Charles situation. I mean, it actually one of the articles that pops up on Google actually calls him the real Django Unchained. Wow.
Yeah. Robert Charles. It was an interesting incident because, you know, coming up, my family would always talk about, and this happened in 1900. And let me tell you a story. There was maybe you heard of the jazz musician Jelly Roll Martin.
Right.
And Jelly Roll Martin was a famous jazz pianist, and blacks made a song about Robert Charles at that time after he was killed. And in an interview that Jelly Roll Martin gives, he says that whites would become so enraged when blacks would sing the song that he was afraid to even, in an interview, he was afraid to even repeat the song that the blacks made of Robert Charles as a hero. You see, but I heard those stories in my family. I heard those stories handed down. You know, my great grandmother was a little baby, and her parents had to, and all around them, whites were tearing up the neighborhood, pulling black people out the houses, shooting them down at work, going on the streetcars, beating people up. And you know, in New Orleans, we have a large population of black people who look like white people, so they were beating up white people thinking they were black people. But it was a police. The point is, it was a police based off police action. It was a police action that sparked that situation. And Mark Essex in 1974 was Mark Essex when he went downtown New Orleans and was on one of the skyscrapers, and he sniped. They killed him. He was out to be killed, but he took out some police officers.
Well, I appreciate you. We've got about 2 minutes left in this special report.
Okay, thank you so much, brother. I
appreciate you. You can listen in on Sundays when we have our regular show. All right. Well, we have, like I said, we had this has been these incidents over the last 2 days, and you will hear a lot of people start talking about how this is playing out. I mean, we hear so many different things coming out of so many different sectors about, because right now Dallas is overshooting. If you go to CNN right now and you pull it up, it's a big red highlight. You didn't see that for Alton Sterling. You didn't see that for Philando Castile. You didn't see that for Trayvon Martin. And our question is that not, you know, and it's not that we don't respect police officers, because there are a lot of good officers out there. I've come across some, and I've come across a lot of bad ones. Bad ones that scare me. It's the bad ones that scare me. And they're not just white officers. They're black officers. And it's not necessarily about always, to me, about color. It's sometimes about the overreach of our government. It's also about people not understanding and being able to properly deal with the power that they have. We need to have a serious conversation in America. And that conversation is going to have to take place really, really quickly. Or there's going to be, because there's people on both sides who want blood. And if they want it bad enough and we don't get together as a people and stop it, there will be war in America, and we cannot deal with that. Nobody wants to see that but crazy people. And we will continue this discussion on Sunday on the regular Down South and Dirty Show, 2 p.m. Sunday. And this has been a special report from Down South and Dirty. This is Scott Smith, and I will see you on Sunday. And we're out. Peace.